Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this lower state? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
The what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native.
I'ma eat a mite and I will be destroyed.
I'ma eat a mite and my time has come.
I am an Edomite. My kingdom is finished. I am at my end.
I am an Edomite. I am an Edomite.
I'm an Edomite.
I'ma eat a mite and I will be destroyed.
I'ma eat a mite and my time has come.
I am an Edomite. My kingdom is finished. I am at my end.
I am an Edomite. I am an Edomite.
Shalom, shalom. Happy Sabbath. Welcome to the Power Hour. This is Captain Aparium.
I'm Soldier Zerishadai.
All right. Welcome again. Happy Sabbath. Little wake up. Some of y'all probably just waking up a little, waking up in two folds. Waking up from bed,
right,
and waking up from a deep slumber.
Absolutely.
And may think, for those of you that are new, that the Caucasian man, that's who he is, the Caucasian man. But guess what? Just like you Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, falsely so-called, are not those titles, okay? Our biblical name are the 12 tribes of Israel, Southern, Northern Kingdom, all right? The Caucasians also have a name according to the Bible. And just like all the other nations, too. And trust me, those of you that have been listening for a while on the Power Hour, y'all know that we say, especially myself, I like to always bring out the fact that the other nations know who they are. They know who they are. You can rest assured they know who we are.
Most definitely.
All right? They know who we are. So Esau know who Esau is. They may deny it when we out there in camp, or they may try to refute it, okay? As a matter of fact, for the most part, if I'm not mistaken, just based in my years in this truth, they don't even refute that. They don't even refute that. Even bringing it out on the street, they don't really even refute that, okay? The problem they have is the fact that that salvation is not for them. Matter of fact, let me bring that out real quick, because we may have some new listeners here. All right, that may be saying to themselves, self, this guy's off his rockers. I'm going to read it. This is in the Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary. This is the definition of what we got here. Definition of Edom.
Edomites.
Edom figures prominently in the prophetic scriptures as the scene of great future judgments. Okay. Says, see notably Isaiah 34 and 5. 6:63-1. Look at those on your own time. They're bangers. They're definitely talking about the destruction of Babylon the Great, which is the biblical name for America, and the Edomites, okay, and the other nations, all right, but predominantly the Edomites. She is the only neighbor of the Israelites who was not given any promise of mercy from God. And as you heard the Edomite, and one of the Edomites in the video say, he said his kingdom is going to be destroyed.
So they know what time it is.
They know what time it is. Okay. And for those Edomites that Because I know our people, they're simpletons. They could be very simple. Not all our people, right?
But
our people could be simpletons, right? And I know they're probably saying, oh, but that's not right. Okay, well, guess what? Mosiah said his thoughts ain't our thoughts. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. They are a vessel fit for destruction. That's all for destruction. That's all in Romans 9. You could just read Romans 9, and you already know that's a whole synopsis of Genesis to Revelation. But that's not the topic for today. Okay, that's not the topic for today. The topic for today is Ezekiel 37, and I believe I titled it "Young Lords, Black Panthers, Brown Berets, and the AIM." Movement played a role, something along those lines. What is it, producer? I got a million and one thoughts in my head right now, man. Producer? Okay, so we got no sound in the show, is what I'm being told.
There's sound, Cap.
When was there sound and at what point? Because Captain Yashua, as soon as we started, said no sound in the show. This was at 11:30.
Right after the video, maybe about 5 seconds or so.
Okay, so did they get to hear the video?
They heard the video. They just didn't hear you when you first came in. And that was probably for about 5 seconds, 5 to 10 seconds.
Okay, so they heard the video, the sound went out, and then I came in?
Yes.
But I wasn't heard.
No, they just didn't hear you say shalom.
Okay, so shalom, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. All right, technical difficulties as usual. Welcome to the Power Hour. All right. I am Captain Aparium, and my reader today.
I'm Soldier Zerushadai.
Soldier Zerushadai. Oh, praises. From what tribe, brother?
Tribe of Benjamin.
Benjamin, which is same fathers, same mothers.
That's right.
Meaning Benjamin and Joseph.
Absolutely.
Okay. And by extension, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yes, sir.
So he's actually would be our uncle. Benjamin is our uncle. Ephraim and Manasseh. Yeah.
Right.
All praises. So again, y'all saw that video. What's the topic of the show? What's the title? Producer?
Ezekiel 37, The Young Lords, Black Panthers, Brown Berets, AIM, and their roles in Bible prophecy.
And their roles in Bible prophecy, because whether they knew it or not, whether we as people know it or not, they played a role in Bible prophecy. They played a role as to what we are seeing today right before our very eyes. They paved the way. But understand something, okay? Get it ready for me. Give me Proverbs 5:21 and Proverbs 20:24. But understand something. And if the scriptures he brings out here shortly when I give him the cue, you'll understand where that all came from. But before we get into that, okay, so we understood, we saw the video. They claim, they know they're Esau. They know. Red as hell, too. Yes, red as hell goes perfect with that. Okay? That being said, let me get the definition of white and black. Because I'll say it for the record, I'm not into that black and brown crap. That's just me. Because if y'all could see the video, this bag that I have here is black. The hooded sweatshirt that Captain Amariah has, thank you for joining us, brother.
Hey, Oprah.
Is black. The wall behind me and the two brothers is black. I'm yet to see somebody that's that color.
Me too.
Right? And you're pretty dark, and I'm not saying but you're pretty dark, and I'm okay because Lord willing, I come back Wesley Snipes dark.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Bernie Mac dark.
All right. Because that's how the Most High in Christ looks. So we should be proud of our skin color.
Absolutely.
Right? So his hair is black, and it still sticks out from his skin color. His beard is black, and it sticks out from his skin color. So I have a big issue with that because I'm not going to say I'm a wordsmith, but I understand the power in words. Okay? And again, not only according to Deuteronomy 28 and 37 is that a byword and a proverb.
Right.
But it's demeaning, number one, and we're going to see by the definitions that I'm hoping the brother puts up. Okay. No, I gave you the photo of what I wanted up, and I clearly told you that the dictionary definitions on Google 9 years later from when I got that printout that I told you to take a photo of, is totally distorted from the actual definitions. Point, you have to look at this, how we are bringing out so much knowledge and information of who the true children of the Most High God are, the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, that they have to go ahead and change things quick on the internet. Mm-hmm. What he's about to point up when he hopefully finally gets it is the true definitions from dictionary.com approximately 9 years ago that I came across and laminated and kept it, because that's how you got to do with information that's priceless, because they'll take it down. You'll never see it again, as they did. Do we have it, producer?
Yes, sir. Pulling it up now.
Okay. So that being said, I don't like to say black and brown. I do like to say brown, because according to Genesis 2 and 7, the Most High God made us from the dust of the earth, right? Yep. And what's the color of the dust of the earth? Different shades of brown. The deeper you go in, the darker is the color of the brown. Brown, not black. And here's why I don't like black. Let's zoom in on that. Let's start with black. Cover the white. And that's why you never hear me. And those of you that have been watching me for a while and know me for a while, I don't call them white.
You don't, ever.
I call them Caucasian or Esau. That is their name.
It's a compliment to call them white.
You're going to see. I'm glad you brought that up. You are going to see. Adjective, black or blackest, lacking hue and brightness. Right off the bat. That's why it's underlined. Right off the bat, it's a negative way to starting. You have no color, you. Brightness, all right? Absorbing light without reflecting. I just want to focus on the underlying stuff for time's sake. We may go a little over, okay, today. So hang in there, because I got some good stuff I'm going to come up, good history I'm going to bring out. Characterized by absence of light. Give me Proverbs 6:23 real quick.
This is a book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp.
The commandments is a lamp, light.
And the law is light.
And the law is light. Go ahead.
Instructions are the way of life.
So I'm telling you, there's power in words. Even in the definitions, there's power. Characterized by absence of light. That means we have no order, no structure. We are nobody. Mm-hmm. We are not God's chosen. Why? Because according to, give me Psalms 147. You know what I want? Okay, give me Psalms 147. It's in 19, 18. Okay, because according to the Bible, who were the commandments, statutes given to?
This is the book of Psalms 147 and verse 19. He showed his words unto Jacob.
The word is the law. Okay, the word is Christ. Go ahead.
His statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
Unto who?
Unto Israel.
Go ahead.
He hath not done so with any nation.
He had never done so. The other nations. So for them to even put this definition in there is a continued mockery of our people. Go ahead.
And as for his judgments, they have not known them.
They don't know them because he ain't dealing with them. Just like it says in Isaiah 40. Go ahead.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord, Selah. Okay, so let's go back. So characterized by absence of light, enveloped in darkness. And it's no coincidence that the second book of Nephi 5:21 in the Mormons says that the black skin is a curse. Ain't no coincidence. And they got the doggone nerve to come up with the Spanish Mormon book and all kind of crap. I seen that crap. I know people that went, Northern Kingdom that went into that Mormon crap. All right, but I continue. African-American. Spoiled or stained with dirt. Gloomy, pessimistic, dismal, a black outlook. How come a white lie is not bad?
Yeah, right.
Okay? How come you've been blackmailed is real bad? Right?
White-collar crime.
Okay, white-collar crime. Oh, yeah. White-collar crime that would have deserve the sentence of 20 to life, you get 5 and you out. And then you write books and you do seminars and you're a freaking multimillionaire all over again. Right? Meanwhile, you got men like the Hurricane Jackson. Right? The movie The Hurricane.
Yep.
Right? Wrongly accused. We got the brother. Somebody just posted it. He went into jail at 18, 15. How old was he?
15, and he got out in 87.
Come on, man. Who does that? Who does that? That man, I'm mad, bro.
Bro,
I woke up mad this morning. You know why I woke up mad? Give me Ecclesiastes 7:7. Give me that.
Yeah, there it is.
Here's why I woke up mad. I was mad. I've been mad all week.
I watched Judas and the Black Messiah.
Okay, and you know what? I was thinking of that, and I'm mad.
I was mad, bro.
And when you see the video that I'm going to post here shortly of an interview with the Young Lords, you'll get mad too. I was mad. You got something?
Yes, sir.
Great.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7.
He said, yeah, I got a script.
7.
Go ahead.
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad.
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Our people are oppressed. Go ahead.
And their gift destroyed the heart.
And because of what Esau recognizes this, and you're going to see, and you know what? I love the brothers, my Young Lord brothers that are still alive, my Brown Beret brothers, and my AIM movement brothers, the American Indian Movement brothers. Russell Means was the head of that. I love them dearly, passionately. Some of them are still alive. But read that bottom part again.
And a gift destroyed the heart.
They're journalists today.
Yep.
Politicians.
Yep.
And they went back to sleep.
They said, hey, you can uncover Al Capone's safe.
Yeah. 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 You could go report the news.
Right.
Crazy. Esau's news, but never report the truth that we are still oppressed.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, you're damn right I'm freaking angry, man. And I've been angry for freaking 12 years, man. And even before that, the Most High God bless me. All praises to the Most High God with the blueprint
there
to get our people out of oppression. Unfortunately, our brothers, again, I love them, and they played a very significant role as to us being able to teach on the streets today. Right?
Yes, sir.
But before I forget, let's see who had the hand in all of that. Let me put the two Proverbs ones I told you to get. We're going kind of quick here, man. This is the power hour. The video I want to go over, man, and we'll be cutting it here and there. You know, it's about 20 minutes long, but I want to make sure I get this in, man. We've had technical difficulties every time I've tried to get.
Proverbs 5:20.
Let's start with that one first.
This is the book of Proverbs, chapter
right? Because
five.
Before they lose the thought, notice what I said. Because some of y'all may be saying, "Well, what do you mean, Cap? The Israelites are the ones that are yes, we are. That's scriptural, but they were spiritual too. They just didn't know it." And they were lacking one main thing, the identity and the commandments. Well, two main things, but they all go hand in hand. All right, according to 1 Kings 8. All right, go ahead.
You said Proverbs 5:20?
Yeah, man's gone.
No, that's 2024.
2024. Okay. I got it.
5:21, I want.
Okay. This is the book of Proverbs, chapter 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord.
The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, when you woke up this morning, the Most High allowed that to happen. Every day you go ahead and go about your business, the Most High has allowed you to do so. You better recognize and get and understand who's running this stuff here.
Hey, Cap, can you read verse 20, though, real quick?
Go ahead.
Verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?
Because that's what our people do. They constantly embrace everything other than what God has commanded them to do. And that's why, I mean, listen, for years, there's you're angry, you have questions. At least now you know why you're angry when you have these commandments and everything else. It says to be angry and to not. Being angry is fine. We understand why we're angry, but now we use that motivation and push it towards something else. But our people left in darkness, they continue to embrace the bosom of a stranger.
And we're going to get it. Yeah, and that's all part of everything. So that's good. That's a good scripture. Read it again from the top.
Proverbs 21. Chapter 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord.
They are before the eyes of the Lord. You think you made it to where you made it, whether it's a career or a promotion, because you alone did it? No, sure. Your skills and everything got you there. Your hard work at this got you there, but who gave you that spirit?
Yep.
Go ahead.
And he pondereth all his goings.
No, some of his goings.
All his
goings. No, the promotion, that was me. That wasn't the Most High God.
He pondereth all his goings.
The fact that I am in a position of authority where I can help my people, I did that. I pulled myself by my bootstraps. Anybody else can do it too.
Ponder it, all is going.
Because, you know, we got our brothers and sisters that are like that. They made it. They've arrived. Bishop's been going over that. They call the rich.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He titled them the rich.
Yep.
The rich Israelites. But guess what? There was many rich Israelites in the Bible, and one prominent one named Joseph of Arimathea, who never forgot his people. Who the reason why Christ was able to be taken down and buried in the tomb was because he requested it. Yes, he made and became a power of authority, right? But he used wisdom, and he understood that this isn't a carnal battle. He understood who the Edomites were, because who was in charge then? Rome. He understood that. You got some?
So basically, your power and your influence is to progress the Most High's work at the end of the day. In some way or shape.
Brother, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. All praises to the Most High. I thought it was me. I've accomplished a lot, right? But guess what? Always give praise and glory to the Most High God. Because I understand, because some of you watching us for the first time, y'all may think that some of us, we're not educated or we're bums. See, I'm from the street, so I keep it real. So I talk like I talk. But when I need to talk professionally, I talk professionally. See, I understand something. Not only is there power in words, but I understand you meet people where they're at. You meet people from their frame of reference. Okay? So if I go in there talking ghetto, which I don't think I talk ghetto, I talk me. Right? I talk Ephraimite from the South Bronx. That's what I talk.
You're rooted in speech, but not in knowledge.
Yes, because Paul did the same thing.
Yeah,
thank
right,
you.
Right.
So he's quoting a scripture from Paul. But when I need to elevate myself for myself and my nation, I know how to handle things. But I'm going to keep it 150 right now. Okay? We done with that?
Yes, sir.
Give me the other one in Proverbs.
This is the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord.
Man's goings are of the Lord. So you may be saying, nah, Cat. Nah, or if you don't know me, nah, brother. I see through Israelite. Right, I'm gonna get into that. Right,
see through Hebrew.
See through Hebrew. Nah, brother, you ain't right. You wrong. That's not what that means. Read it again.
Man's going are of the Lord.
Let me tell you why you feel that way. Read the second part.
How can a man then understand his own way,
brother? You, sister, brother, you ain't spiritual. You ain't understanding what I just read in Proverbs 5 and 21. You ain't understanding what IUIC has been pushing, and other camps as well. For years, that the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans are the true Israelites. We're the true Jews. We're the Most High's chosen. Y'all don't understand that yet, but that's okay. Lord willing, you will. Keep watching. Keep watching this show, and keep watching all IUIC's classes. Okay? Because if you're part of the elect, you will get woken up.
That's
many
right.
are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
Read it one more time, and then we're going to get right into finishing this up here.
Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?
We cannot. Why could a baby be born dead? Why could a child die in a car accident and the parents live? It ain't for us to figure out. It's sad. Why have we lost loved ones? Why the good always die first? Well, according to Romans 7 and 12, good is not what you think good is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all of the Most High God, because he said his thoughts are not my thoughts. Don't try to box with him. Don't try to be at his level, because he's the king of terrors for a reason. He will make you recognize you ain't at his level. So let's get back into the definitions. Number 6, deliberately harmful, inexcusable, a black lie. What's that say there? Boding ill, sullen, or hostile, threatening. You ever wonder why black brother, black sister walk into a room full of Edomites? And everybody's grabbing their purse,
mm-hmm.
and he's in a suit.
Same reason why the cop comes. Oh, if he's threatened for his life.
That's a good point. Absolutely. Indicating censure, disgrace, or liability to punishment. Marked by disaster or misfortune. Based on the grotesque, morbid, or unpleasant aspects of life. That's why they call us nigger.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Northern Kingdom. Guess what they called us back in the day? Straight hair niggas. There's plenty of movies about that. Plenty of information about that. Okay? They say that with hate and disdain. You see the YouTube videos and the World Star Hip Hop videos of them, a brother or a sister, videoing them and they cursing,
mm-hmm.
calling us nigga, 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 nigga.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
14. That which is undesirable, substandard, potentially dangerous. No, because the other one there, they said that we are dangerous. So I don't know why they put potentially
it
in
says
there.
That which is undesirable. We know that. And they know that we know that. And we know that they know that. That's why they said that. That's why we're the nation that's not desirable.
Give me Zephaniah 2 and 1.
This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1.
Let's prove that they gave us this name and they call us black for a reason. Trust me.
Yep.
Hey, there's a saying that Esau got. Some of y'all maybe know it, some of y'all don't. Maybe you're around Edomites and they say, I hate Mondays.
Yep.
Oh. They hate blacks. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's new to me.
How about this? I hate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday because it's named after Edomites named them days. Because we didn't have them days in the Bible. How about that?
Absolutely.
So I hate the 7 days of the week and their name. Gotcha. Go ahead.
It's the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Mm-hmm. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desirable.
Undesirable. We're not desired. That's why they call us black. That's why I don't like the word black. I don't use that. People of color, I kind of go with that, but I get concerned with that because they try to throw Moab in there and Ammon, the Japanese and Chinese, mm-hmm. and the East Indians and the Arabs. Nah, you ain't oppressed. Arabs, man, your ass got land full of oil.
Don't forget, brother.
Okay, and if you live in rocks, houses made out of rock with no water, man, that's your people's fault. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of oil in them lands. Don't say you ain't no damn oppressed. Okay, don't give me that crap. And don't tell me China because, heck, your economy's booming. And Japan, you're Esau's allies,
yep.
All right? And y'all got Sony, so don't give me that crap. Sony, multi-billion-dollar company. Don't give me that. I don't want to hear none of that stuff. What we got? World Star Hip Hop, BET. Okay, what does that do for us as a nation?
and we don't even have BET no more.
We don't even have that anymore.
Yeah.
They take everything from us, man.
So thank you for making it profitable.
Yeah, now we'll take it from here. Now we'll offer you extra, and we'll go ahead and beat the. And then the simple one just sold it.
Yep.
You never sell that. That's why Bill Cosby wanted to buy the rights to the Little Rascals, mm-hmm. and to buy NBC,
yep.
so he could control it. And what they do to him, they hemmed him up with stuff that happened years ago that everybody did during that time.
Yep.
Let me get back, man, because I get upset. Where were we? What am I doing here?
Zephaniah. You want to go there again?
Read it one more time.
This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desire.
Hey, and I could talk ghetto professionally, too. Just in case. All right, anyway. Yeah. Illegal or underground, the black economy pays no taxes. Yeah, and that's Esau. Where the black economy pays no taxes. So they know it's illegal. Deliberately false or intentionally misleading black propaganda. Okay. I think I proved my point with why I will never call you black. That's why I don't like that black and brown movement with different shades of brown. Okay. But now let's see why they call themselves white.
The other side of the coin.
Of the color of pure snow. I don't know. I thought snow was snow.
Yeah, right.
When it falls, right? But it has to be pure snow. Again, power and words. Of the margins of this page, etc. Reflecting nearly all the rays of sunlight or similar light of human beings. They didn't call us that in black. Marked by slight pigmentation of the skin as of many Caucasoids. That's what I called them.
Mm-hmm.
Cave dweller. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. For limited to or predominantly made of persons whose racial heritage is Caucasian. Yes. 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 A white club, a white neighborhood. Slang. Decent, honorable, generous, or dependable. They sure are. They gave us welfare, food stamps, public housing after they took our land.
Was that the gift?
That's the gift. Obama phones, stimmies. I ain't against a stimmy. I'll take a stimmy because that's my money anyway. Right? So don't be mad at that. That's our money. Mm-hmm. All the years of taxes. I'm credited out in Social Security. So I can't get any more credits. I busted my behind, man, since I was 11 years old, man. Anyway, morally unblemished. So they don't have any blemishes. Right? That's Very white of you. Auspicious or fortunate, you doggone right. In this captivity right now, you are. But you're only fortunate because you're blessed everywhere we're at, the Israelites. Poetic or archaic, having a fair complexion, blood very pure. Oh, no, you're not. And moral, really? Really? Say that to Cuba, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and the land, Azareth, the biblical name for America that you took and never gave back. Say that to all the what you call illegals who were here first, and you kicked them out, and now you put borders so they could be illegal children that were locked up in cages and are still locked up in cages. Morally pure, innocent, benevolent, my ass, or without malicious intent. Oh, really? Give me Deuteronomy 28, and I think it's 49 I want. A nation of fierce continents?
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance.
A fierce countenance. And they have the audacity to say that white men without malicious intent. Fierce countenance, you're malicious.
Yep.
Okay. Jeffrey Dahmer eating people, that's malicious.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, we don't eat anybody. We eat food. Okay? We eat food. And then we don't bury them underneath our house for years and years and years. That's disgusting, nasty, and it smells. Mm-hmm. And you're a freaking demon. Okay. All right. I don't want to take too much. Y'all get the point. I hope y'all get the doggone point. I ain't calling nobody black.
Yeah, right. I mean, even when you read like this.
I ain't calling them white.
When you read the synonyms, it says sinless, right? It says moral, virtuous, righteous, upright, blameless. That's everything that Esau is not. Yeah. That's why Captain Joshua always says history is his story. So let him tell it. He's all these things, but he's none of these things because God says otherwise. He says that he is the devil the Bible speaks of. It's just facts.
Okay. So staying on the same vein of the Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom leaders who understood oppression, who were partly – Ecclesiastes 7 and 7, they partly understood that. But then some of them got a gift. And again, I'm not downing them, trust me. I have much respect for them brothers and sisters because the sisters were part of that as well.
That's right.
I do. Because I'm from a generation where you still respect your elders. Okay? And I caught the tail end of this as a kid and I saw this stuff. Okay? So they had great intentions. But unbeknownst to them, they were lacking what I mentioned earlier, their true nationality, because they were fighting as blacks. Because back then, term African-American wasn't even around.
Nope.
They were fighting as blacks, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, and Indians. We're fighting spiritually. Right? Let's get that real quick because I can. Okay, give me 1 Corinthians. The weapons of our warfare. We're fighting spiritually. According to the blueprint of the Most High God, which is the Bible, to do the same thing that they wanted to accomplish. But we're lacking. The Most High did not put that spirit, that the full spirit. They had a great fighting spirit, and I admire that fully. We had Dr. Sanchez, David Sanchez, from the leader of the Brown Berets on here. And again, it was a privilege to have him on here. And he's a trailblazer. Fred Hampton, Huey P. Newton, trailblazers. Chacha Jimenez, Pablo Guzman, Felipe Luciano,
Cesar Chavez,
Albizu Campos, Lolita Lebron. We went over them. Much respect for all of them. Go ahead.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
We're not carnal. All right. They had arms, right? They fought back. They shot back at the police and everything. I get why they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the Most High's plan. That was their Bible. our shotguns, our machine guns, our swords is the actual literal Bible, the words in this Bible. Waking our people up, one Israelite brother and sister at a time, with Deuteronomy 28 and John 3:16, letting them know that the Most High God did not love the whole world.
That's right.
With Deuteronomy 33, with Genesis 49. Okay?
You know, and look at the chaos that it has thrown the world into, just bringing out these words.
You know what I was
thinking? That's a revolution.
Absolutely.
Last night, what I was thinking about, Cap, when I was watching Judas and the Black Messiah. By the way, if you haven't seen it, you need to go see that thing, bro. That thing is good.
Telling you, but it's probably one of the first, because I've seen documentaries, man, and they you know, they tiptoe sometimes on something.
Absolutely. The thing is good.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking is, these movements that, and then this is just me personally, my own personal thought about it, but movements like the Black Panthers, the Brown Berets, the Young Lords. Remember when Christ said, this new commandment I give you, to love each other like you love yourselves, right? We know that that wasn't a new commandment, but that's something that we forgot as a people. So those movements, when you look at them as a whole, they're not establishing God's commandments, but they had love for their people. It was to teach us to love your brother like how you love yourself.
We went over it on Wednesday. The three things that the Most High is beautified in.
Absolutely.
The unity of brethren. And they understood that.
Yes.
And you're going to see how much they understood that in this news reel here.
So they had that, right? But then we had to had the waters rise and establish now keeping the God's commandments
right.
with it too.
This is why I say they were trailblazers.
Absolutely.
Okay, they passed the torch to the men, our elders,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Yeshaya the scribe, Arye, right? All of them that came before, Abba Bivens.
Yes, sir.
Right? All of them that came before us. Regarding the truth wise, I'm talking about.
They had that second commandment down pretty packed, bro. Like when
they had it very packed.
That's why even David Sanchez, he wasn't using scriptures, but the doctor was saying things like, oh, we had rules about you can't speak bad about one another.
Right.
You can't lie to each other.
Right.
Like damn, that's everything that applies to the second great commandment.
Right.
The love of brethren, they had that
right
packed. So
but here's what they didn't have. First four commandments.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So when I'm watching the movie, I'm like, damn. Like, these movements taught us how to love each other like we love
yep.
ourselves.
Yep.
But we didn't have
yep.
God's commandments.
They had the last six, but not the first four.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is the disclaimer ready? Because before we play this, everything's good to go. All right. Let's get right into this. I may interrupt here and there with some points. Okay. But I want to try to let it go through. I wanted to start with the scriptures. And while this is playing, I want you to meditate on the scriptures that were brought out.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Well, as massive protests rock Puerto Rico and Governor Ricardo Rosselló is expected to resign today.
And this is not new. This is about a year or so
back
old.
At the Young Lords, a radical group founded by Puerto Ricans similar to the Black Panther Party. The New York chapter began 50 years
Stop.
Ago.
That's Felipe Luciano. All the way to the right was the founder, Chacha Jimenez, far right. And right behind Felipe Luciano, you see he got the fist going up, okay? All right? That's Pablo Guzman. I don't know if he's still a journalist on Channel 4, but he was on Channel 4 as well, okay? Look at the speckled bird.
Yep.
Look at the cake not yep. turned. Look at the different hair textures. Hello. For you naysayers. Go ahead.
This week. When the group announced their formation.
See, stop. You know what the problem is? And I kind of get it in a way. See, if you weren't from the inner cities, the urban cities, you didn't see this. So if you were from down south, like I say, you like Southern Kingdom from down south. You didn't really see this. All right? Because when you're going to see when the so-called Puerto Ricans and the other Northern Kingdom came here, besides the indigenous natives, places we went to were New York, Chicago, and California. Cities where our people were at, where we felt that common bond, that unity.
Yep.
That comfort. We ain't going outside. We knew. See, right. Southern Kingdom was brought there. They were stuck there. We knew. No, we know what happened to our brothers and sisters. We're going to circumvent the South. Mm-hmm. Okay? We'll live in the South Bronx, south side of Chicago, but we ain't going that far south.
Right.
That's too far south for us. They know we straight hair niggas.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Alley in Tompkins Square Park to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution. Soon after, the group launched an effort to force the city of New York to increase garbage pickup in East Harlem. It was known as the Garbage Offensive.
That's him, the one.
Members of the Young Lords cleaned the streets of the Barrio and then piled the garbage into the middle of Third Avenue and set it on fire. The Young Lords would go on to inspire activists across the country as they occupied churches and hospitals in an attempt to open the spaces
Stop.
To community property.
And they show them in Judas, the Black Messiah, taking out one of their brothers in a coffin. And right after that, they show them uniting. I don't want to kill the movie. Just watch it. Go ahead.
Projects. The group called for self-determination for all Puerto Ricans, independence for the island of Puerto Rico, community control of institutions and land, freedom for all political prisoners, and the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Vietnam, Puerto Rico, and other areas.
The Young Lords would also play a pivotal role in spreading awareness of Puerto Rican culture and history. While the group would disintegrate in the mid...
But they were not disseminating our true history.
Right.
They did not do a 1 Kings 8. They didn't do that. They were talking about modern history, not biblical history, which is one of the first steps. Bethink yourself according to 1 Kings 8:46. Go ahead.
That's right.
47. Go ahead.
Mid-70s. Its impact is still felt today. On Friday, a number of former Young Lords will gather at the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture to kick off a series of events to commemorate this.
These are the men as children, when I was a child, that I looked up to, that gave me advice and why I didn't end up in the system. Because I could have. These men right here, and these were, it's funny because I always say back then, like 16-year-old, especially if you were Northern Kingdom, because we're born with beards and mustaches, they looked like they were in their 20s.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're a kid, everybody's like tall, like real big and old, right? Because you're little, right? So I remember these were men like this that would talk to us in the projects, in the centers, at the YMCAs. When they would teach us boxing, the martial arts. I remember I caught the ending, a lot of stuff, and I also caught a lot of the residual. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't up until really maybe the mid-'80s, late-'80s, that they crouched like a lion. But they were powerful, man. I remember. This is nostalgic for me. Go ahead.
50th anniversary of the founding of the New York chapter. We're joined right now by four young lords, four former young lords. Denise Oliver Velez was the first woman on the Central Committee of the Young Lords. Carlita Rivera is one of the original members of the Young Lords. And our own Juan Gonzalez, who helped found the organization and served as its first Minister of Education. Oh, we're also joined by Johanna Fernandez, Associate Professor in the Department of History at CUNY's Brooke College, who's the author of the upcoming book, The Young Lords, A Radical History. So three young lords here. Juan, we have to begin with you. As you talk about the history, I mean, the moment, I want to go back to that clip that we played at the beginning, that we played in the billboard of this show, because it was a clip of you talking about the significance of what was happening back then.
After the death of Julio, do we have to wait for number 2 or number 3 or number 5 or number 15 before we realize that that's all that this system has in store for us? So we felt now is the time for us to say exactly how we're going to respond to the killings of our people. We're not going to sit by and allow more Julios, right? And allow more Carmen Rodriguez abortion deaths.
Stop.
We have to begin.
Very similar to what we're dealing with today, right? So what does that prove? They gave it the good old college try. They gave a great effort, but it's not the Most High's plan. This is why we're still going to be going through this until we finally wake up, according to Ezekiel 37, and no longer two sticks, but one nation.
Yep.
Go ahead.
To stand up to the people, the Puerto Rican people, and say that's enough. That's enough.
Talk about what were the circumstances of 50 years ago in the founding of the Young Lords.
Well, I think the key thing to understand is that the Puerto Rican community in the United States, and especially in New York City, where it was the largest, was effectively an invisible community for the rest of the city. Puerto Ricans effectively were second-class citizens, were subject to discrimination on a regular basis. And
Puerto Ricans, for those of you that don't know, are from the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, but it was a lot of the other Northern Kingdom tribes that were second-class citizens, along with the so-called African-Americans. Go ahead.
Was really the rise of this second generation of young people, the sons and daughters of the original migrants who came in the 40s and 50s, and that began to demand respect for the Puerto Rican and Latino community. And so the Lords arose out of that, most of us were children of parents born in Puerto Rico. I was actually born on the island, but came here as a baby. And so the the uprisings against the conditions in the ghettos of East Harlem and the South Bronx and Central Brooklyn was what got us going. And I think and the fact that we constantly dealt with the direct issues confronting the community on a daily basis, whether it was garbage or health care or lack of the lack of teaching of Puerto Rican and African American histories in the schools. These were the issues that we originally organized around. The most important thing to remember is that the group was extremely young.
Now, I think that they had to be a lack of teaching of Puerto Rican and African Americans in the school,
mm-hmm.
because then you start connecting the dots.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Something ain't right here. And then you connect the Bible with it, or somebody shows you who you are according to the Bible. Now, that's a problem. Same thing they want to do now, take slavery out of the school system.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Denise and I were the oldest people in the leadership, and we were like 21, 22. Everyone else was 18, 17. Carlos over here was like 14 years old.
The 17, 16, 14-year-olds of today are no match for what these brothers and sisters were back then. They have crouched like a lion. They went to sleep. They got internet. They got Facebook. They got TikTok, acting like idiots on the damn thing. Right? Sitting on a damn couch. That's why a lot of these adolescents, okay, are fat, out of shape, with problems. That's why here in IUIC, we train them kids up. All right? This is what we get them back to living their life the way they're supposed to be, not the way Esau's strategy. Go ahead.
Old when he joined the Young Lords.
And you had just come out of the Columbia uprising, the Columbia strike that you were helping to lead.
Well, but that was previously, And then we were inspired by the Young Lords group in Chicago, which itself was inspired to a great degree by the formation of the Black Panther Party. And so the group just blossomed and really recruited hundreds and hundreds of people in a very short period of time.
Mm. So you were 14, Carlito?
Unbelievable, yes.
Where did you live and why did you join? What inspired you?
Well, I grew up in the Lower East Side. And at the time, the Lower East Side was going through a transition from being a white neighborhood to a Black and Latino neighborhood. And so I got to experience directly the events of the West Side Story, the real events of the West Side Story, the race.
If you ever get a chance, it's actually a really good movie. I've seen it multiple more. My father had me see it when I was a kid, okay? And I never really understood why, but he forced me to watch it, and I've watched it. West Side Story. Now, again, she hooks up with Esau, okay? So that sucks. But just so you can see how things went down in his neighborhood, the Lower East Side, that's why I call it West Side Story, okay? On the west side of Manhattan and the east side, this is why. That's why he said he really experienced it. You didn't walk into another block. Even when I was a kid, you didn't walk into certain neighborhoods because you had Esau there waiting to jump you. It wasn't allowed. And if they didn't jump you, they will make you go back. You ain't coming through here. And you will have to go a long ass way all the way around just to get to the same place that you could have went just two blocks to get to. I experienced that, so I know what that crap is. Hey.
Racism, the being picked on and everything else. And when I joined the Young Lords, it was sort of like a vengeance for seeing the intensity of discrimination against not just my family, but many Puerto Rican families that we knew.
And Carlos, as I recall, you were originally organized or gotten involved in politics by a former Black Panther,
yes.
And then went to La Raza Unida, the famous Raza Unida conference in Denver, and what was it, 1968? Or
as you get older, you tend to forget what years. But I at that time I was involving myself in some of the effects of oppression. Drugs, doing some, stuff on the street that you shouldn't be doing. And it was thanks to Bob Collier, who is now deceased. He was a leader of the Black Panther Party in the Lower East Side and one of the Panther 21. Thanks to him, I'm alive today. And I was able to join the Young Lords because he put me on a bus that went to the first Chicana Mortuorium in Denver, Colorado. And that's where I met Iris Morales. I met quite a few other number of people on that bus trip that eventually joined the Young Lords.
Also, Mechacha Jimenez was
Jimenez. He was one of the first people I met as soon as I got off the bus.
And his significance in Denver.
And Chacha was the, for people who don't know, who was Chacha?
Well, Chacha was the founder. He was the founder of the Young Lords, and he was impacted by the work that the Black Panther Party was doing in prisons. He was in prison at the time. When he came out, he vowed to transform what was once a street gang into a revolutionary political entity.
This was in Chicago.
That was in Chicago, correct.
Denise Oliver Velez, how did you get involved? Where were you born?
I was born in Brooklyn in a Hasidic Jewish neighborhood. Okay, so, but I had been working at an organization in East Harlem called the Real Great Society. They were founded on the Lower East Side, where Carlitos from. They had been a street gang, the Assassins, and they transformed themselves into a sort of under the sort of great power, you know, great society rhetoric, and there was money, anti-poverty money that came in, and they were rehabilitating buildings because the slum buildings in the tenements on the Lower East Side and in East Harlem were horrific. So I met them at Howard University, and they recruited me to come and teach at a prep school for high school dropouts in El Barrio. And that was where the Sociedad de Avisu Campos, the Society of Avisu Campos, was founded. And then we
Avisu Campos, who was a
revolutionary
Puerto Rican
leader from Puerto Rico,
imprisoned and experimented on in prison
we
for
went over
decades.
Him,
so some former Peace Corps people came to RGS, recruited a bunch of us to go to an experimental college on Long Island called Old Westbury. And when we got out there, there were 16 students on campus who were not white. So we formed a non-white caucus and banded together. And it was there that Juan came out to Old Westbury. Pablo Yoruba Guzman was a student at Old Westbury.
Who would become another newscaster.
Who would become a newscaster. David Perez came in from Chicago. And the core group, Felipe Luciano, was a Sikh student at Queens College. He came out to Old Westbury. And a group of the young people decided to go to Chicago.
We're going to break and then come back to this discussion and also find out why Johanna Fernandez is writing a book on the Young Lords. Our guests are Carlita Rivera and Denise Oliver Velez, Juan Gonzalez, one of the co-founders of the New York chapter of the Young Lords. This is Democracy Now! We'll be back in a minute.
Same fight, same struggle. Nothing's changing. We're the trailblazers today. We're the ones changing this. Look, another one of our brothers and sisters killed. So for anybody from Southern Kingdom to say another kingdom ain't Israel, are you kidding me? You need to get brushed up on your history. That's what we're here for. We understand that our people are deep slumber. We still love y'all. Okay? But wake up.
Palante by the Puerto Rican musician Alinda Segarra of Hooray for the Riffraff. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. In December of 1969, Young Lords took over the first Spanish United Methodist Church in East Harlem, which became known as...
So they took over the first United Methodist Church. They didn't know how close they were.
Hmm.
So they weren't going to get it in that church, right? Because we know
right,
that church
right,
was
right,
wicked.
Right, right.
But they didn't know how close they were to the plan of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The People's Church. For 11 days, Young Lords used the space to provide services to impoverished people, mostly Black
Stop.
And Latino.
And it said for 11 days. So it wasn't their church.
Yeah, right.
They only had it for 11 days. Go ahead. We're gonna get the earth forever.
Once the Black Messiah returns. A breakfast program for children provided basic health care, ran a daycare with Spanish language lessons, and taught Puerto Rican history. This is a clip from the documentary El Pueblo Se Levanta, produced by the World Newsreel. This is Pablo Yoruba Guzman addressing the crowd.
Stop. His nickname was Yoruba, based on the Yoruba tribe. Those are the Ephraimites from Africa. There so, yes,
yep.
Puerto Rican, so-called Northern Kingdom, we were in Africa, right next to the Igbo tribes, okay? You ask anybody, we have brother here that was from the Igbo tribe. He said, yeah, we used to, that we clashed back then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the Yorubas are the so-called Puerto Ricans. That's why he nicknamed himself that. Because they knew that. They knew as far as back as that. They didn't know that our history went further. Go ahead.
People's Church.
And it ain't just y'all in this church. You know, it ain't just East Harlem. Remember, we relate to an international struggle. So it may sound ridiculous. But this all links up to what's happening from Vietnam to Puerto Rico to what? Don't ever forget that. That without you here, see, our children have had it. What you do here today, what you do after you leave this church, no matter what happens, whether we get busted, whether we have to walk out, either way, it's still a victory. Whatever happens on after that, it's going to be important for the fate of the world because we're in the belly of the monster.
That's right. Stop. And he was prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened after that? The Israelites woke up.
That's
Ezekiel
right.
37, the water started rising. So unbeknownst to him, this is why I titled the title what I titled it, because they played a part in Bible prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
They paved the way for us. So he didn't know what he was saying there, but he's right because the true Jews, the God's chosen people, were going to wake up and fight a spiritual battle. And fight for what? Like I mentioned, for the whole world, according to 2 Ezra 6, which was given, made for our sakes. Go ahead.
We're all over waiting for us to take care of business. Now, I don't like people to be too optimistic because I'm kind of a pessimist, you know. But remember that no matter what happens, one way or the other, we have won. We have a victory here today. They can
Stop.
Never take that away from us. Everybody here, go out.
See, that was a speech of defeat. You're never going to hear an Israelite speak like that. That's a speech of defeat. Yes, they got a victory. But like he said, I'm not pessimistic. Because I understand, right? Here's what I understand. Give me 1 Corinthians 1, and let's see where I want to start from. Here's what I understand. So there ain't no pessimism. And any of you brothers and sisters out there should not have one ounce of pessimism. I want you to start at 21.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
Stop. They didn't understand. They had the wisdom. They knew there was a problem. They knew there was an issue. They knew they had to do something. Which is why I admire them and exalt them, but they didn't understand where the wisdom really was coming from.
Right. By the foolishness of preaching.
It did what?
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching.
By taking over a church for 11 days.
By the foolishness of preaching.
By marching.
By the foolishness of
preaching. We've been bringing out an IUSC for years. We've been marching for years, and we still unoppressed people. Okay? That's what they were lacking. Because how is the nation going to be woken up? How are we going to get out of oppression, you blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans?
By the foolishness of preaching.
By on the street corners, radio shows, weekly Sabbath classes. Okay? Community cleanups.
Mm-hmm.
Fundraisers. Teaching on the streets. Hardcore flyer missions. That's the foolishness of preaching that the Most High God is talking about here through the spirit of Paul.
To save them that believe.
To save them that believe. That was, again, they were missing that. You cannot leave the Most High God out. I went over the scriptures how you cannot because it's his program. He's the puppet master. He's the director, the producer, mm-hmm. You name it. Whatever adjective you want to use, that's the Most High God. He's the power. God means power. All right? Go ahead.
For the Jews required...
Go to 23.
Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
All right? Because that's what it is to our people. Yeah. That's what it is to our people. That's why he calls it the foolishness of preaching. Okay? Go ahead.
Hey, and I can prove that too, because when I first came to the truth, my mom asked me, she said, are you being one of those weirdos that are like teaching about God on the street corners?
Yeah, you see?
And I was like,
Go ahead.
But unto them which are called both Jews and Greek.
Mm-hmm. That's just talking about Northern and Southern Kingdom. Go ahead.
Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Go ahead.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
The foolishness of God, the most simple thing, because people see that those movements and they were like, yes, I saw them with the machine guns, the rifles, the shotguns, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what's going to do it. You can't go up against the Caucasian man and their armies. You can't even go up against their police force. How about that?
Yeah, right.
I'll keep it at a low level. Okay? You can't even go up against their police force, let alone their army. Go ahead.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
You know why it says that? Because something as simple as teaching the word of God is more powerful. That's why Hebrews 4 and 12 says it's more powerful than a two-edged sword cutting deep into the asunder.
Yeah, that's
to the marrow.
When you read in 2 Ezra 15, it tells you that without labor, the law will set fire to the world.
That's right.
Without labor. And it's not the labor of us going out. It's talking about it's not picking up weapons, but it's a spiritual battle. And us just teaching the commandments of God and the faith of Christ, that's what's going to – like, look, this man has all this technology and power, and God said, I'm going to bring all that down by sending them out to street corners and saying, hey, listen, you're an Israelite. Keep the commandments.
Go ahead.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Mm-hmm.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Unfortunately, we would love for our brothers, he's still alive, they're still alive, a lot of them, to repent. And maybe they will. Right? We had Dr. David Sanchez on there. Lord willing, he does more research and sees that this is the way we're going to stop being oppressed as a nation.
Mm-hmm, sir.
But these were mighty men. I consider them mighty men. It takes a lot to do what they did.
Absolutely.
A lot to do what they did. Okay? And it also takes a lot to be scorned down the street teaching.
Mm-hmm, true.
And having your family turn their backs on you for the sake of the Most High God.
That's right.
Okay? But not many mighty are going to do it.
Sure.
It's going to be people from all walks of life with all different types of professions.
Yes, sir.
We've mentioned it before. Brothers and sisters that were locked up repenting, changing their lives, getting jobs, fathers being fathers, supporting their children. Women understanding their role is very important in the rebuilding of our nation, but understanding that they're not the nation. They are part of the nation. And understanding their role, which is very prominent, very significant, but understanding that the man is the head. Understanding that they need to represent modesty, humbleness, so that the other young sisters or older sisters that may not know this, so that they can be an example to them, so that the other brothers and sisters, other young brothers and older brothers, regardless of how many gray hairs they got on their head, like the scripture says, recognize that these men are speaking truth,
mm-hmm.
And this is what's gonna give us our salvation.
That's a part of the foolishness of preaching. Just
that's right.
Because you're teaching by your example.
That's right. All right. So not many of them are called. So don't be fooled, brothers and sisters. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to recommend y'all could see this on YouTube. Maybe post the link. And even after the recording, if they click on the live chat, it should still be in the link, hopefully.
Bro, it's amazing. This was 51 years ago. And it's the same things today, man. It's insane. Like it shows you that this is not the solution.
But you know what's interesting, Cap? That you will never been able to see this if it wasn't for social media. Most High's a mastermind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Most High's a mastermind because this history was there.
Yep.
But a lot of, unless you grew up in that era, you didn't know about this history. So
It was kind of like how Isaac was saying the other day that he didn't know about LeBron.
No.
It's the same thing with me.
No.
I didn't know about that. No. I didn't know about those things until I was after – it was I was already in the truth, and then Bishop started pushing Northern Kingdom history real heavy and was like, hey, Judah's a problem. Northern Kingdom, y'all got to wake up and start learning your history. And then that's when Deacon Ithon started bringing out certain things, and I was like, damn, there was a thing called the Young Lords. Or the Brown Berets and or
the mighty. That's why the scripture says not many mighty.
Yep.
Okay, those were the mighty, man. All right. And if you notice in the interview, okay, the Northern Kingdom brother, the Ephraimite, so called Puerto Rican, he was a spy, just like I was. Mm-hmm. That's why the most I finally opened up my spirit to absorb, to take this in, it was a no brainer for me.
Yeah.
Because everything just came back to me. Because I remember seeing the Israelites back in the early 80s on 42nd Street. And I thought they were crazy.
That's crazy.
I didn't understand. I wasn't ready then. I was just trying to get out of my own way back then.
Yeah.
The hell did I know? I didn't know nothing about nothing, man.
All right?
Because you don't know what you don't know until somebody tells you you don't know, man. And I didn't know. And they told me when I first heard this word that I didn't know. I understood there was a problem, but I didn't know. Until the words of the Most High God came out and showed me. All right? So any final thoughts, brothers?
No.
Comments?
Kind of like you said, real quick. Those that are interested, I would definitely highly suggest watching the rest of this video.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
a lot of great information.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that warrior revolutionary spirit was also in the Northern Kingdom as well, proving that they're also Israelites for all of the naysayers. And listen, we know that there's going to be people that say that Northern Kingdom is not Israel until the Lord returns. We know that. But guess what? As long as there's opposition, then we got to bring out history just like this.
Hey, I do have one more thing. Give me Deuteronomy 33. I did give you that scripture at the beginning. To show you that for the Northern Kingdom, it was Ephraim prophesied that was going to go ahead and do this.
That's right.
Okay, Ephraim, meaning the so-called Puerto Ricans. Okay, Deuteronomy 33. Matter of fact, let's go. Let's start at, because this is the blessings that Moses stated was going to come to the tribes. Let's start at 13, and we're going to read all the way to 17. Go ahead.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew.
Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic. Okay, go ahead.
And for the deep that coucheth beneath.
Mm-hmm. That were the treasures, the pearls, all right, the riches.
Yep.
All right, the rubies, diamonds. Go ahead.
And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun.
Okay, brought forth by the sun. Again, it's talking about that, but it's also talking about the children that we were going to bring, because Ephraim means I am fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
And for the precious things that put forth by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And for the chief things of the ancient mountains. And for the precious things of the lasting hills. And for the precious things of the earth. And fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren.
Okay, and part of that, the main part of that blessing was, we're going to read about in 17.
His glory is like the firstling of the bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns.
Why of unicorns? Okay. Reem is the Hebrew word for unicorn. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, it's R-E-A-M. I have it somewhere. Y'all know I have it. Okay. I just forgot to get it. All right. And unicorn is not reem. When you look at the definition in Hebrew, the etymology, when you go back, because Esau messes all things up, a unicorn is not a name for a rhinoceros. I got to look it up. I think it's R-E-A-M. Okay, you got to really look for it, because it's they like to call archaic name. Okay,
yeah.
But it's no coincidence. What that's referring to is the ensign of Ephraim and Manasseh, two horns from the same father of Joseph. Okay, a rhinoceros has two horns: a larger horn, which would be Ephraim, and a smaller horn, which is Manasseh. Go ahead.
With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth.
And this is what we did, starting with going as far back as Albizu Campos, mm-hmm. all of those revolutionaries, and with the young lords. Go ahead.
And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh.
Okay, all praises to the Most High God. So these movements that happened, they were supposed to happen. This is why I say, and I titled the show today, that they played a role in biblical prophecy.
Absolutely, absolutely, sir.
okay? Because they had that fighting spirit. All right, brothers. So with that, we're going to say shalom. Enjoy the Sabbath. And we'll see you on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Arizona time, 9 p.m. East Coast time.
Kom Yashallah.
Shalom, Israel.
Lego.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running scared because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low.
When
the Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Prepared solid.
Solid.
We got them on lock.
Got them on lock.
God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen geek, ready for our whip to crack.
Damn. Like, it takes me 9 minutes to get here normally.
No, I know.
Like 31 minutes.
I figured something was up if you asked me what time I was going to start.